The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 11th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong's a regular on here every month, and guys, a blast. If you haven't listened to our last show, we got monster feedback on that. And it was just all I was talking about is I'd like to find a place, even though they didn't film it in Russia. I'd love to go somewhat like a Rocky IV and have a dirt floor, a barn, some rocks, some weights, some axes, some anvils. I don't care what you got, and I want to go harden up for 1 year. I don't care if a couple people want to come or I'm on my own. I'm still putting it out there. People went wild with that. The feedback was nuts, man. And there's some books we're going to get into and all this down the road. So go out and check that one out. It was all about innate intelligence, learning how to listen to your body. And that's some of the stuff we're going to get in with Will Dinwiddie today. But I'll bring him in shortly. Secondly, we've got Sorenex exercise equipment. I got to thank Richard and Bert because they are sponsoring me for Iceland. And when I hurt my shoulder, it was on the side of the arm where I tore the bicep, too. He knew that I was looking for an oversized trap bar. We were getting ready to build one. And he came to me before a show and said, you know, we want to send you a trap bar. Now, this thing's pretty incredible, this diamond bar. If anybody's looking for something basically to put in a power rack or press over your head, this is it, man. This thing is 50 pounds. It's knurled a little. It's a little bit bigger than the normal 1-inch bar. The knurls will dig right into your hands, and it is one of the smoothest bars I've ever used. So go out to Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. I thank both Bert and his father, Richard. They're fabulous people, man. I'm telling you. Hearts Collision. They're a local company here in New York State. They are heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Lori and Alex are great friends of mine. And as I was just telling Will, you all know if you listen to the show, I'm training his 14-year-old son for basketball, but I couldn't be happier. We're going to do strongman next year. And that's what it's all about, man. Give it back, teach these kids, and let them teach others. So go out to heartscollision.com and or call them, obviously, at 518-477-7937. Tell them that Motivation and Muscle sent you. Next, go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. Download our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. No glossies, nothing fancy, just 10 paragraphs to really make you think, motivate you, you know, put it in action. That's what it's all about. Next, we're just about ready to release the Winner's Circle. That's 12 modules that I did from the very beginnings. It goes through sandbag domination, the return of iron boots, my love of the power rack, building big, huge arms. You got to hear it. It's 27 to 34 minutes. It's all audio. You can take pieces and use it. You can plug in the whole routines. I give you everything right down to sets and reps. Check it out, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. We all have strength. We also have our $7 product, Strength Times Power Equals Success. It was all the movements, everything I did with Dennis when we knocked 43 pounds off him and got him in super shape. Running hills with sandbags. You don't have to have weight issues to use something like this, and at $7, it's well worth it. It's all shot in HD, and I narrate a ton of it. So you're going to have a lot of stuff put right in front of you where you're not going to have a million questions. And if you do, you can contact me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Once again, video. I just sent Chris, who does all the work, tons of video. You're going to get to see the FBC lifting apparatus, everything. I couldn't show you everything, but there's a ton of stuff that we built that I show all the outside, the 95 feet driveway, the stones, the tires. Anybody that's into this stuff, you're going to love it when you see it. It came out beautiful. So look for that down the road. Next, Chris Bigelow does everything. That's monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. Tell them that Motivation and Muscle sent you. You also can go on the homepage, and you can click the icon. And last but not least, we're looking for sponsorship, obviously, to keep this thing really rolling. We're looking to work with anybody for the next 25 years. I mean that. We've got over 65,000 listeners already in the short span we've been up. We're going to get to a million or more, I promise you. We are beating the pavement as hard as we can. If you get, you know, you sign on with us, we can do whatever you want with your branding. If you need branding, Chris can design that for you. That's an extra fee. It's $300 a month. That's dirt cheap. I want to get started here. We're on the average of 7 to 12 podcasts a week. Most people do one. That's how, you know, I'm dedicated to this whole cause totally, and we're going to get everything out there, I promise. This week I've got 15. So I've got Will Dinwiddie on with me today, and Will's been on one other time with us, and Will brings a wealth of knowledge. Will is a strong man. He's a personal trainer. And, Will, I don't know, is it Epic Fitness? Is that still your shop?
Yeah, Epic Fitness okay. Solutions is my business.
Okay, all right. I want to make sure I had that right. I was going to say solutions. We're going to talk about something that's really been on my mind, and a lot of the guys that have been on here, and it's mostly guys with gyms so far, none of the females that have been on here own, well, Holly owns one, I believe. But
Holly Joy Garner?
You got it.
Oh, cool.
McKay.
I know her.
McKay. Yeah, she's cool. But the thing we're going to talk about today with Will, and I'm going to bring him in a second. He can tell you what he's got in his website and everything. We're going to talk about personal trainers, and I know we're going to get into a lot of issues with it, probably mentally and the whole physical end, but this has been something that's been coming up a lot lately where these guys are getting parents bringing their kids in, that, and these are teenagers too, a lot of them. Highly damaged. They're in some very physical sports, especially gymnastics, whether they've had injuries and had to have surgery or they're in rehab right now. And the thing is, they're finding, too, a lot of them are dropping out because mentally they're just getting the snot beat out of them by these people. You know, just because you have a medal or medals or trophies does not equate to good training. So, Will, welcome to my Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad to have you. It's good to have a good mind on the show. It's always good. Tell everybody, you know, just briefly, a little. Give us a little bio about yourself. Obviously, the gym, your email, anything that would, you know, correlate with everything here today, please.
Okay. I've been lifting weights for 19 years straight, unbroken, no breaks, year round. Started when I was 15, weighed 88 pounds. I weigh 235 now. I'm 34. I have my own gym business. It's a strongman strength sport style gym, and I compete in every strength sport, and I've won in every strength sport multiple times. So strongman, Highland Games, powerlifting, arm wrestling, moss wrestling. I've even bodybuilded a few times and won there also. So I'm pretty. I know training and I know dieting pretty well, and I'm able to help other people with my training business to get to their desired physical goal. So,
and you know, something that's an awesome thing. I mean, you've been in everything, you won everything. That's quite an accomplishment, because most people will only stay where they're comfortable and that's it. And I think the true identity of an athlete, because, you know, I'll bring this up quickly too, and then we'll get right into it.
Sure.
With you doing this, I like that, and I'll tell you, and it reminds me of something. The last Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa, I'll never forget this, and I don't remember if it was in the movie, and I think it was, or I heard an interview with Sylvester Stallone. And I'm a big fan of his, because as an entrepreneur, we all know, you get a lot of sand kicked in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people like to beat your ass when you're down. And that guy lived that life. I mean, I remember reading he sold his dog, Butkus, that was a number one.
Yeah.
I think for like $100 or something. He said it was the lousiest thing he ever did. He said, I think he ended up paying thousands of dollars to get Butkus back.
Yeah, I've heard that story.
Yeah, but here's what it reminds me of, Will. In that last movie, I remember him saying that it's good for an athlete, it's good for anybody to learn to make yourself uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, because I know I've done things like that. He would take a tennis ball, he said, and squeeze it till he thought his hand was going to explode. And they're like, well, why would you do that? He says, you have to teach yourself how to become uncomfortable, to be in situations that when they get dog bad, that you can rise above it. And like with what Will does with all these different, you know, when you're talking Moss, you're talking bodybuilding, you're talking arm wrestling, strong, et cetera, et cetera. He's taking himself out of his comfort zone. I don't care how good of an athlete he is. Everybody has anxiety slightly, or you're apprehensive when you go up in front of stuff. But once you've trained yourself, you know, I always like to say, if you're going to bleed, go out and bleed in the backyard, man. Don't bleed on the field in front of everybody, or don't show people that you look scared. Because one thing I tell little Al here, I was telling Will about this, a good kid that I'm training right now. I yelled at him a few weeks ago. I could tell he looked tired or something was going on with him, and I walked right up to him. I said, never show anybody anything like that. I said, go on the side of the garage if you got to fall over, you know, something, or you don't feel right. Because I said, do you realize when you're playing basketball, there's people watching you all over the place, man. And if you don't want to get your head broken off or worse, never show stuff like that. So, Will, let's get into, you know, the training thing. You know, this is something that is very puzzling to me because, well, let me put it to you this way. Why does everybody need a trainer these days?
People need trainers because they don't know what they're doing. They think they know what they're doing, but then they go and try things on their own, and then they don't get the results they want. And so that's when they would enlist the aid of a trainer or a coach or something like that. And I could answer this, too. The reason why there are coaches is because coaches can organize a team, or they can organize a training for an individual or a group of individuals. Because a lot of people, they have the will and the drive to want to be somebody, but they don't know how to do it. It's like when you go to school to learn math, you have to learn from a teacher, you know, like, 'cause you don't automatically know what 1 × 5 is when you're first starting out. You have to have somebody teach you that, so that way you do know. And so it's the same thing with training the physical body. You know, like, you have a body, you know, you kind of know how to move it, but you don't really know how to move it in a organized fashion to where you can get results. Like, if you want to have a six pack, or if you want to have big shoulders, or if you want to play at a professional level in a sport that you want, that you like, there's certain things that you're going to need to learn that you can't possibly learn on your own. You're going to need help from somebody else who's been there or who is currently there to guide you.
Do you feel though that is usually the common denominator with everybody walking into your institution then? So, well, basically that.
Yeah, because I have advanced athletes come to me for help. I've worked with professional athletes that came to me for help because, you know, I've worked with professional MMA fighters, and they don't know about strength training. They know about fighting, you know, like, you know, like, I've worked with, like, people that are powerlifters or bodybuilders, but they don't know nothing about strongman. In fact, the first time they come into my gym and see my stone setup and stuff and my logs, they're just, like, totally blown away. Like, what is all this stuff? And I'm like, this is strongman, you know, like, and it's a lot different. It's going to build your muscles in a different way than bodybuilding will. Or, like, I had a guy locally that I got to compete in an arm wrestling tournament with me. I got him a super match and stuff because he's so big. He's 275, you know, huge, and he's in great shape. He's a bodybuilder, and he went against a 200-pound arm wrestler and got his arm jacked up from a 200-pounder. And I told him, you know, like, the thing, you can't think that just because you're bigger than somebody that you're going to beat them, because this little 200-pound guy slammed the shit out of my buddy and hurt his arm, tore some tissue in his bicep, you know. And I told him, I'm like, you know, you have to learn to train. You have to train to be good at anything. And so all these sports are dangerous in their own way, you know, powerlifting, lifting one rep maxes, bodybuilding, getting super lean, arm wrestling, the torque and stuff on that one part of your body. Strongman, there's all kind of ways you can get tore up in strongman. So all these sports are dangerous, and they all require, like, a technique. Every event requires its own technique and training. You have to condition your body and your mind to withstand the forces of training, so that when you go into competition, you're better prepared. You're less likely to get injured, and you're more likely to perform the way you want to perform.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of the arm wrestling. I don't know. Maybe it was in the mid-90s, when they used to have arm wrestling. I'll never forget Magnus Samuelson. And
He was an arm wrestling champion, actually. He was a European arm wrestling champion before he got into strongman.
And you remember
he broke that guy's arm.
Oh, you could hear it shatter,
that
man.
That was the end of that guy's career, actually, after that.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah.
He was like, that guy was like almost 7. He was a giant,
oh,
man.
Yeah, he was huge.
God. That was unreal.
I don't want to get off point here, but you were talking about like the correlation between youngsters getting hurt and having training. Why training is important?
Yep. Here's my thing. I'm with you. I mean, I don't know if you. Well, I'll ask you this. You know, I'm training a 14-year-old, and I like strongman. Obviously, I'm partial to it because that's what I like to do.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, I feel, this is my opinion, you can yes or no, or you tell me different. I think strongman, you know, obviously they have to change the size of the implements they're using and everything.
Yeah, you got to scale it.
Exactly. But don't you think strongman translates to everyday life?
Strongman is the backbone of all my training. I was a strongman champion before I was a strongman before I did any of the other strength sports, and I feel like strongman made my body like overall able to handle these other sports, just kind of walking into them. Now that I've been training all of these other sports, of course, all the training complements each other in my opinion, because I'm doing it all. But if you want to get specific, like if you want to improve a specific sport, you're going to have to kind of give yourself a specific time range, like a 12-week or an 8 to 12-week specific.
Sure.
Like I'm just going to do strongman. I'm just going to prepare myself for this strongman competition. But if you want to be like the best overall athlete that you can be, and you don't care about competing, then doing it all, I feel like, gives you the benefit of it all. Like throwing helps loosen up your hips and makes you explosive. You know, arm wrestling gets your wrist and elbow tendons strong, and it teaches you a new technique. And it's man versus man. It's not man versus a piece of equipment, you know. So there's a different mindset that goes along with arm wrestling, and same with moss wrestling. But the difference between moss wrestling and arm wrestling is arm wrestling, you're connected to another person's body. You're actually holding their hand, so you can feel their energy. In a moss wrestling, you know, you're separated by a stick. And then of course in powerlifting and bodybuilding and all that other stuff, it's just training. It's you versus the equipment or you versus the diet, you know, like so. You know, every strength sport I feel like all these sports, these are individual sports too. These are not team sports. They all help develop you in a different way, but they all complement each other. They will all help the other sport out. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, without a doubt. Because I'll tell you what, I've had this talk with friends of mine off air and obviously on the air. I'll tell you what I've learned from Strongman, and I've implemented this obviously with me. I have to, but especially with Al. I think walking with heavy implements. I'm not even going to get into farmers or flipping top. I'm talking carrying a sandbag or a stone for distance. And, you know, I'm 95 up and back, which is a nice walk with something heavy, light, or whatever. I'm convinced. I wish I knew this many decades ago about walking and carrying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only making a prediction. I can't say this would happen. I think I would have been way, way better of an athlete with everything.
Oh, I'm sure you would have been. Front carries. Front carries are by far the hardest things to be good at, I feel like, in strongman. Kind of H-stone or sandbag, any front carry. Front carries are my worst events, actually. You know, like, and people look at me and they're like, well, you have a six-pack and you can pick up so much weight. And I'm like, but, you know, just because you look a certain way doesn't mean that you can perform in the way that you look.
Right.
You know,
right.
And everybody has their weaknesses. But from what I've seen, the strongest athletes, the best champion athletes that I've seen, all have some big things in common. Like Zach McCarley and Hafþór Bjornsson. Both of those guys are two of the best front carry people in the world. Zach McCarley is a lightweight, 105, and he in 2013 he beat out all the heavyweights of the Arnold Classic in the front carry. He took the H stone further than any heavyweight, and he was outweighed by over 100 pounds. And then Hafþór took that 480 pound rock, fucking like 300 feet or something close to that, and just and dropped it. He could have went further. At that straightaway, I think that was this year or last year.
Was that at New Hampshire for when they were at the Highlands? Is that the one?
No, I don't remember, but I know it was overseas in Europe because it was.
I'll tell you this. Bill Crawford, who's on here, I'm sure you've heard of him. He's one of the best stone. He's the guy that set up the 08 when we all went over to Iceland. He blew his bicep up, and so did I. He has a big Highland Games up in New Hampshire, which is, well, it's not close to me, but, you know, you can get there. And he does it every year. This year he'll have Hafþór and he'll have Magnus, and we're going to do an interview with Magnus when he's up there, too. And we might be able to get Thor, but I think Magnus is going to come in like 3 days earlier.
Magnuson?
Yeah, I'm actually going to
be a four-time World Strongest Man winner, right?
You got it. Well, this is what Bill will talk to him, and Bill sees no problem. So
that guy's a technician.
Killer.
Because he wasn't very big, but he was technically just superior than everybody else.
Without a doubt.
He could understand how to carry and how to put your body in the best position
to do everything. Yeah. Well, Bill was telling me that I guess they had some big slab there, and I want to say it was over 450. And they said Thor picked the thing up, man, and I can't remember how many yards he ran with it, but Bill said it. They opened a gate so he could run through the gate because he couldn't stop. He said it was like one of the most phenomenal things that he'd ever seen. And, I mean, this is coming from a guy that is a big-time stone lifter, and you got some major people there. So that's why I just think that, you know, you got to get yourself in a certain mental atmosphere when you're going to carry. Now,
when
Bill was on the other day, we talked a lot about, especially both of us tearing a bicep. We talked mainly about how and what to do as far as protecting the biceps. Talking about finger strength, obviously, what to do with all that, and obviously carrying the whole deal. And it was very interesting because couple of the things he hit upon is stuff I've done, but he told me, well, I'm going to increase my stone training, obviously, days-wise, but that's going to be something, once again, adaptability to everything. But I know pretty much where I'm going with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. He said one of the best things he ever did for his grip, and he still does it all the time, is he'll take, it doesn't matter what size stone, whatever he can muster up, and dig your fingers in and hold it for as long as you can. He said after he had done that for a while, it looked like his hands doubled in size.
You mean just picking the stone up and just holding it like
with your fingers,
picking it up off the ground and just like being bent over and just holding it in your hands until your hands.
Holding it in your hands and pushing your fingers in as hard as you can at it and hold it. Now, I've always developed that a little more. I do it right after that. I go back and forth with this, but you're only going to have so much left in you because, you know, the other day I did a stone session. I picked it up probably just below mid-shin.
Okay.
I ripped 375 off the ground with a steel stone. I haven't done that in 4 months, okay? It didn't feel bad. It came right up. I haven't pulled it off the ground yet, mainly because one thing at a time.
Right.
Then I did good mornings. I went up to 350 for a couple singles with it. It was easy.
Wow, nice.
But you know what I mean? But I'm getting the flow back. You know what I mean? I have not been able to unleash with anything for, like, I've been working around this crap for almost, you know, 3.5 months. The last 5 workouts, the arm's able to come back now, so I could dead stop squat with the buffalo bar again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take this stuff for granted because I got to tell you, Bill, I thought I won the lottery when I could get that arm back and it didn't bother me in the shoulder anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happy as hell, man. So I've been doing that. So after I grab the stones, I might go anywhere from a 50 to 150, whatever I can muster, whatever I got left at that point.
Cause
I'm not trying to use it to lift a big stone. I'm trying it to build the hands and fingers.
Yes.
Wrist.
Yes.
Okay. Right after I do that, I go over to my, cause right now I'm in the hunt. I'm looking for, what do you want to call it? an anvil. I've got some ideas of what I want to do with beating steel on it, but that's a whole nother show. That's another show in itself. So I dropped my lighter tire down because it's got a softer, you know, outside to it.
Yeah.
And I bought these sledgehammers. They're short ones, and they're rubber coated because I didn't want to put any more crap through the arms, you know, with steel shit banging stuff. So after I grab the stone to do my holds for as long as I can hold it, drop it, I go right over and pound the living shit. Maybe I do 10 reps in each arm, go back and grab another stone.
Nice.
And in the meantime, when I'm doing this too, believe it or not, I'm like rolling these little stones all over and grabbing them because I'm not just going over and grabbing them. I'm doing more things. I'm like shifting my hands as I'm trying to rough the fingers and the hands up real hard right now to get ready for everything that's coming. So that's one of the things I do. And I know you'll appreciate this. I don't know if you guys ever did it. I'll put the video up maybe later. I have little Al. I have him use a 240-pound sphere that, you know, we made out of cement.
Mm-hmm.
And I have him get almost in a bear crawl over the top of it, and I have him push it 95 feet down and back.
Damn.
You want to talk about building some friggin' midsection and strength? Because here's the deal. My driveway is not even.
Mm-hmm.
So you might hit a little pothole, and that thing's going to your right. You're trying to shift your hips over to the right to straighten it out and come back home. That's another one of my little inventions I do. So, I mean, that's just kind of the bizarre shit I do here.
Yeah, that sounds like stuff that Bud Jeffries does.
Yeah. Well,
do you know Bud Jeffries?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's been on the show before. You know what it is? I always say this, when you're alone, you're real creative, man.
Oh, yeah. You should see when I'm at the gym, I'll just be looking at stuff and I'm like, how can I make more use out of this equipment? What else can I do with this stuff that no one else would think of, you know, like, and that would benefit the body or benefit me in competition terms? It would make me better. And I get, if you're into it, you know, obviously like you're into it, you get creative because that's the passion that
starts to come
out.
And now this all reverts back to a great trainer because, see, I think a guy like you, a guy like me, Bud, you know, all these people out here, you know, that have come on here are people I talk to off air. I find one thing in common with them, and you said the word passion. But number two, to be a great trainer, you know, I talked about training alone, how I feel it's benefited me more than anything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel people can, you know, unless they're not really with it, somebody can kind of figure out pretty good if you're throwing the shit or not, or if they come after a few sessions and, you know, they know something's not right. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that aren't sure. They stay around too long, and then we get into what we were talking about with injury or burnout, or they just quit. And I think all these things that you and I do and a lot of the other people that we know, you know, mutually, I think that we've gone a little bit further than a lot of people with things. We've wanted to get better at other things. We've taken on other things. We've built things. We've thought things out. Even when we didn't know, we instinctually had something leading us along.
Yep.
Okay. Well, okay. Now, this is where I don't care who you are, unless, and now look, I've told people not to come back here. All right. Because I'm very strict about my reputation when it attaches to somebody. My father, as we were growing up, was always like, you know, never disgrace your name. It'll follow you the rest of your life. And that always stuck in my head. And I've let people go from here. Believe me, I needed the money, but I was like, I don't want this attitude brought here anymore.
No, because then that'll ruin your attitude, and then you'll lose money. You'll lose more money in the end.
It poisons everything. So my whole thing is, if you come here, and I'm not even going to say, you know, people are always 100%. Well, what the hell does that mean? You know, when you come here, be ready to work. You know, pretend that this is, you know, I like to go into some workouts like and saying to myself, well, if this is my last workout, what am I going to do today?
Cause, dude, I've been doing that my whole life. That's
that works.
Like I think of it like if this was the last time I would ever work out, or if I die on the way home tonight, how do I want this workout to go? You know, like things like that. Yeah, you got to put yourself in extreme situations, like things that aren't like you're going to go home most likely. Everything's going to be fine, but just in case, you know, and your life flashes before your eyes in seconds, you want to be, like in my mind, I want to be happy with how everything did. I did the best I could every time, you know, like I never was like, not today, I'm just not feeling it today or anything like that. There's no regrets. You know, you don't want to have regrets in your training.
Not at all. Well, I'll tell you this too. This is, once again, it all goes back to being a great trainer. When you and I are talking like this, this stuff rubs off on whether they're kids or adults, because they're looking at you and saying, okay, well, maybe I don't want to be built like these guys, but I'd like to get some strength. I don't want to struggle climbing up a flight of stairs, or I don't want to have breathing issues when I got to bend over and grab a bag of groceries, man.
Sure.
And put it, you know, these are important. But, you know, it's stuff like that. It's when you walk into somewhere and you're saying, well, if this is my last workout, what I'm going to do. These are the foundations, even though you might not recognize it, because I didn't at first. These are the things that I'm teaching that 14-year-old. These are the things that you know what I do every day, Will? And I'd like to do a show with you the next time. I just started this, and it's phenomenal, because these are guys and gals that have been training a long time that have won things. I always say to them, I ask myself this now every morning, but this would be one of the questions I'd ask you. Why did you start lifting? And I said, don't give me
good
cereal
question.
But don't give me the cereal box answer that a lot of people, you know, they'll say,
I just want to be big and strong.
Exactly. It's like,
why do you want to be big and strong? What is it that's driving you to want to be?
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly.
What does it mean? It's got to mean something to you. Why? What exactly. For you to go in there and give every amount of effort to perfect every rep, every set, because that's what it's going to take to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, and you know, I ask myself that question every day. Why do you lift? I give myself a different answer every day, man. I'm thinking there's stuff going through my skull right now, and I say that to you.
The motivations are always going to be changing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reason's got to be strong enough to get you in there to do the work every time.
Yep. Yep. Because, you know, it's damn easy to say, you know what, I'll do it tomorrow night. And if you go through your life like that, you're getting nowhere. And if you got
to. You know, that's funny you say that, Eric, because I was thinking that today. I'm like, you know what, I had surgery yesterday, and I told all my clients that I was going to take today off. And you know what, I'm actually feeling really good right now, so training is back on. So I told everybody today, you know, like, hey, training's back on. I'm taking the morning and the afternoon off, but training will be back on tonight because I got to get some other things done. But it was just, it's the same thing. It's like, I'm feeling fine. There's no reason why I shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like bedridden, you know, so I should be there. Even though I technically could say, well, I had surgery. I people would understand if I wanted to take the time off. But then in my own mind, I'm thinking, you're not bedridden. What are you doing? You need to be there for them, because that is also an example of being a good leader. Like, yeah, you got surgeries, but is it making you incapacitated to do things?
No.
I'm like, depending on what it is, no. You know, and it's just like when I tore my biceps off and I cut the cast off after 2 days and started, you know, training again. You know, it's just, you know, it's just like I felt in my own self and my own body and stuff. I'm like, You need to be a higher example for other people. Now, you don't expect other people to do what you've done. You know, I don't expect other people to do that, because that's not, you know, that's a different mindset you got to be on to be able to do that. But what I do want people to see is that you can go beyond what you think. You know what I'm saying? Like, your body is capable of much more than what it's your mind that you got to get in check.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you what. You're right and all that stuff, but here's the main thing. It's like I said to you before with Al, people are always looking at you too.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at me. What are you doing? You know, like, all right, you had to have surgery. All right, and they would have understood, but you knew inside that, hey, you know, for some reason I've got to be here. You know, this is what I tell everybody that comes here, you know, like we talked about this last week. With Al, My main thing is to take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm here, to train him and help him mentally and all that, and make him the best, whatever he wants to be in life. I, you know, like I tell him all the time, Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Don't be afraid to stand up and speak. In fact, he's going to be, a week from Saturday, he's going to be doing a podcast with me, and then it'll be good because everybody will not only see video of him, they're going to be able to hear him. You'll hear him in the video anyways, but you're going to hear a 14-year-old kid, man, that has changed so drastically that it's unbelievable. Just to see him now, how he's come out of his shell, and he's starting to speak forcefully and things like that.
Yeah,
and
you're helping him to build his self-confidence.
Absolutely, and you know something? I hope he can take this into whatever he does in his life, and hopefully he does this his whole life, but whatever it is, and he can just be the go-to guy for everything. And, you know, there's a lot of things that didn't make sense to me a long time ago, even a year ago. You know, with everything, with business, everything mm-hmm. that's going on. It's like yesterday was like, I swear to God, it felt like somebody dropped a hornet's nest on me yesterday. You had those days. It was absolutely brutal, everything
right.
that was going
Lots
on.
Lots of pressure.
All day. And I, you know, something at 5 o'clock, I shut the laptop down. I said, no more. I said, if I deal with this anymore, something could end up happening. And
like
I was
negative.
Just,
you don't want negativity coming out, pouring
pissed
out of
off
you.
Off in anger, man. And yeah. It's not helping me. I can't, you know, and even if I got to these other people, it was like I was in such a mood, it could have turned physical. I mean, mm-hmm. that's how it was. And you got to learn to walk away. But you
yeah.
know something, the whole thing is you keep learning, even like you and I, adults. Well, I like to use that loosely. But what I'm saying is, you're learning stuff every day, even if you're not cognizant it's happening, because then I'm going to say maybe a week from now it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. Even if
yeah.
it's just repetition, even if it's doing the same things like over and over again, that's still learning because it takes repetition to grow a muscle, just like it takes
yep.
repetition to grow yourself intellectually or spiritually or emotionally. You know, you got to have repetition, testing yourself over and over again, so you get hit with these pressures like what you said the other day. You probably got
yep.
at it from all angles, people coming at you at needing things from you or expecting something, or you have to fix problems that you have to go back and fix things over and over again, and it can become frustrating. And so, but that's repetition. You're getting a chance to face adversity and do it different this time. How are you going to overcome it differently this time? And are you going to walk away with a good attitude, or are you going to walk away with a bad attitude? You know, like,
right.
And those are things that that everybody, you know. So there are some times that I walk away with a bad attitude. It's not very often, but then I learn from that. Why was I so angry? I don't want to be angry. You know,
right.
Like, I don't want those feelings. And what can I do to shut them off? And yesterday on the way home from the hospital, I was zoned out. You know, because I was still on all the
sure.
the stuff that they had me on. But I was just thinking, you know, like, I can choose to be, you know, I had a situation going on the way home, and I was like, I can choose to be, I can, like, okay, this is what it was. My daughter's mom was driving me home, and
yep.
I get freaked out when I'm not in control, when somebody else is driving,
yep.
you know, like,
sure.
especially my car, you know, like,
yep.
I love my
yep.
car, you know, so, and I'm freaking out, you know. I'm sure you've seen Jim or the memes where, you know, like, the guy is holding on for dear life while his wife is driving, you
yep.
know, like.
Yep.
So I'm thinking those things. I'm like, you know, and we're driving next to these trucks on the highway and stuff. And I'm like, I can be tense and nervous, or I can
yep.
just be relaxed, because you know what? I can't control this anyway.
Nope.
So if I can just learn to let go and just enjoy like the music, enjoy my daughter,
yep.
you know, rubbing my shoulders or whatever, and instead of being tense about
yep.
you know the situation. It's learning how to. It's another example of learning how to overcome your adversities. You know, like, you have to learn to control your mind and have your, you know, like, if you can learn to control your mind, you can have more in your life. You can do more things, because you can
yeah.
turn a negative situation into a positive like that. You know, just with
yeah.
a switch of focus.
Yep.
You know, you got to focus on something different. You know.
Well, I have a thing I say. The minute I wake up and it's in my head all day. And it's right to the side of my laptop. I always say, good things are going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Repeat that over a number of times. I don't care what happens to you. And this is all about the mind here. You could have 10 negative things come in, but when you've done that enough, it'll override everything. So,
mm-hmm.
like, sky was falling yesterday, but eventually good things are going to happen to me kept popping through my head because I started the mantra going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been ingrained in me so much now that's what was circulating through me. Was I tired and frustrated, and would I love to take, you know, a 400-pound stone and throw it right through a brick wall? Hell yeah, man. But I also wouldn't want the stone to pop back at me, or the friggin' bricks in the wall to pop me in the eye and blunt. But you know, you get my point.
I feel you. Yeah.
It you get to the point some days with just things and people that are riding your ass for no reason. It's like, well, you know, I can use like my stuff. You know, well, today's not a good day. Can we reschedule tomorrow? It's like, I can't because, you know, we're booked right through mid-November right now. I mean, I cut spots out with different people and just openings. But, the majority of people.
You can't.
I know,
the most important word you said there was you can't. You can't.
I can't.
You can't do that because you've already made a commitment to yourself. You can't go back on your commitments because then you become unreliable to yourself. And once you become unreliable to yourself, you're obviously already unreliable to others. So you can't do that. You can't let yourself do that. You, no matter how uncomfortable it feels, just like when you're under that last rep, no matter how uncomfortable it feels, you can't stop pushing or else it's going to crush you. You have to fucking keep it together and work through the adversity or the resistance.
Well, you know what
And when you do, you come out from it.
Yeah.
Better person. You come out on top. You're PRing. You're achieving again.
Yep.
You're succeeding.
And you know something? As Dr. Ken Leisner used to say, I used to love when he'd say it in his articles and Hard Gainer and all over. It'd be like, what you're doing is you're walking strong. Now people are like, okay, what's that? Well, did you ever notice, like I noticed, it's like when I'm feeling really good, I'm training really good, I just feel like my body is bolt upright when I'm walking everywhere. It's like you have a certain cockiness and confidence, and you're looking around and nothing's getting to you, man. It's almost like you have tunnel vision, but you know what's going on around you. And I gotta tell anybody out there, and another thing, a guy that we used to train with from the old Y days, you know, where the guys were there, we'd go in there and try to learn from, they beat the shit out of us or whatever, man. But there was always a couple that were cool and they'd help you out. I remember this one guy, Craig. He was a cool as hell guy. He was probably about 5'8" and he weighed about 225. He was huge.
Oh,
man.
That's big.
He didn't have a big belly or anything. He was the nicest guy, man. And he used to love to do all the short partials. That's where I learned a lot of that stuff. And I remember him always saying, we were sitting there talking one day. He's like, you know how you know when you're really on? And I'm like, what? I said, how do you know? He's like, look at your hands, man. If your hands are pumped as hell, that means you're going to have a good workout. Now, I got to tell you, most of the time that's true. And maybe that's because I buried that in my psyche.
That, you know, that is actually the more pumped my hands feel, the stronger I feel. It's weird.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, dude, you got to go out and do that shit with the rocks and the sledges, man.
Yeah, I'll try it out, man.
But, you know, little things like that, you know, and as a trainer, I remember all those things. And I tell these kids or these adults, you know, these are some of the things you need to look for. You need to be aware. You need to listen to that voice like Dr. Wong and I were talking about, where most people now, and I love it, I like going and being alone and just quieting everything with me. I need that because you and I both know, in the state you're in when you train and train hard, you're ferocious, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anything could happen at that point. We've had people. I had my sister one day. Now, I already told everybody my driveway's 95 feet. Now, that's my sister. My sister's been around my brothers and I forever, okay? She kind of knows what our MO is with all that stuff. But this is how bad it was back here. We had two of my buddies back here, and we were doing dead stop squats in the power rack, and we were just lifting light stones and walking them. Just, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. She said, and we only listen to, like, screaming, ear-splitting metal, okay? So we've got that on, and we're going bananas, man. And my sister comes walking up the driveway, and she says to me, I wasn't sure if I should have come up here because I thought maybe I'd get killed. She said, you guys are scary as hell. I can hear you out in the middle of the street so loud, man.
Right on.
And I was like, but you know something, man? That's the intensity of training. Now, I don't need music all the time. It just depends what kind of mood
you won't
I'm
hear
in.
It. You won't hear it anyway in the middle of the set.
Exactly.
You don't remember what was going on. All you remember is like what you're doing.
Exactly. Well, you always hear these purists. They'll say, well, if you need music to get you going, you ain't much. I was like, yeah, okay.
That's bull crap, whatever. Everybody has their way of getting motivated.
No shit. It's so funny. It's like, you know, for all your chatter, I'd love to see something you're even moving or lifting, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, there, you know.
Music is a great inspiration. That'll absolutely. Bring a lot of good energy out of you.
Dude, there's times you'll have that on, I swear to God, you feel like you're just going to split that bar in half and you would.
Then there are also times when quiet is the best thing for you.
Exactly. Hey, look, I've gone in that garage quiet as hell with just whatever nature's presenting me with the door open.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine with me because there's sometimes I don't need to go over that edge. And, you know, your temperament's different all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like tonight I'm just going in and I'm going to have at it and that's it. You know, if I feel I need something else, maybe I'll turn it on, maybe not. But the idea is that's why I like especially training at night here because – you know, I've got spotlights all over, so the place is lit up like daylight.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. One of the nicest things about that is at the end when you're done and you're sitting on that bench. I like to go out and buy, there's a local dairy here that's got some great bottled chocolate milk.
Mm-hmm.
I usually bring that out with me rather than waste $4 or $5 on some bullshit whey protein container. I'll sit out there, man, with my glass bottle. And I got to tell you, dude, I'm the happiest guy in town. And I'll tell you the second part of it. I bring a recorder out with me. I am so heightened mentally, my creativity is – I've dictated like short stories, you know, just kind of an outline of what I want to write out there. I thought of equipment where I'm sitting there drawing in my notepad. For people that haven't tried this, it is one of the best things you could ever do because there's a certain – at that point, man, you don't want to be that bear anymore. You want to mm-hmm. calm down and start to recover right away.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, that's some of the nicest stuff that it feels to you ever, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing it. It's like tranquility, kind of. You know, you still got the edge a little bit, but you're coming down, and I'm sitting there amongst my rocks and my spotlights, and I'm looking all over, and whatever noises are there, fine. And away we go.
That's another reason why I like training so much and hardcore training because training hardcore, it helps to get all the negative energy out of you so you can be a better person throughout the other times, throughout the day or afterward or in the morning time. You can just deal with things better. You're not so, wound up or high strung or aggressive, you know, like you can say, you know, that you can save all that energy for your workout, let it all out in your workout, build your body up stronger than it was before then. And you walk away with good feelings, you know, like, hardcore training, I feel like is good. Everybody needs to work. I feel like people need to work harder. A lot of people don't work hard enough. But for the ones that do work really hard, they also accomplish more, and they're also nicer people in general.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because they have an outlet for all the attention that builds up in their body and in their mind.
Well, you're not walking around with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, shouldn't. You shouldn't have to. You should. No. The bigger and stronger you get, most of the biggest and strongest guys that I know of are also some of the nicest, most generous people I know because that's their outlet. They don't have to feel like they have to be tough all the time or walker. It's like the guys that you know that don't work out, that walk around with their like tank tops on and they have to walk around all big around you and stuff. But it's just insecurity, you know, like because they haven't worked out these insecurities within themselves yet. And training helps you to work out all that stuff because you're taking all this negative energy. And you're not only building your body up, but you're building your mind up because it takes mental strength to push through those hard reps or to lift that heavy weight. So you're building your mental strength up, you're building your physical strength up, and you're releasing all the negativity that builds up on a daily basis out of your body and out of your mind. So, I mean, it only makes you a better person building your body up, strength training.
I think that... that's, you know, as far as that's why I do the strength training with it, no matter who it is. Whatever level, you got to bring it down because you nailed it.
Yeah, we didn't start out at this level. I started out at 88 pounds.
I was
a bullied kid. You started out small, too. Like, you didn't, we didn't, this is accumulation over decades of work and trying, You know, like you had to put in work all the time. This is just, and you know, this is how it should be. You know, you shouldn't all of a sudden just jump out there and be super strong and right from the very beginning. That's not what that's not what it's about. You know, like it's growth. It's internal growth too, not just physical.
Well, it separates the daisies from the real competitors, that so to speak. And it's like, I think this is my opinion. I like all different kinds of sports. I'm not real interactive with much anymore. Baseball, a little bit. Hockey, a little bit. I love always watching World's Strongest Man, anything like that. But here's my take on everything. Think about, especially you've worked with a lot of different athletes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you don't screw yourself up totally with lifting or destroy yourself or mentally just say, I don't want to do it anymore, what sport could you still be lifting at 100 years old? I can't name anything else but weightlifting.
I know.
Okay?
You're right. Maybe arm wrestling. I don't know. But
yeah, okay.
Probably not.
All right. But think about this. It's like, so why aren't more people doing it? And why isn't it put up on a – and I'll tell you, and you said it on the last show where you said, I think that you're starting to bring everything more to the mainstream. And that's the point of this whole thing, because it's like – I'll tell you right now, I think I know everybody said – like Bill was saying the other day when we were talking about it, he says, well, it's too damn hard. Yes and no. I'll tell you what. I'd just like to start a whole thing, a revolution with just sandbags. Now, nobody can tell me – that they can't lift a sandbag. You could build 5 pounds of sand and they could walk as far as they wanted to, walk around the block.
Mm-hmm.
The what I'm trying to stress here is this, just like CrossFit, just like all these other things that they've glossed up, sold perfectly. Is it good? It's good for people that like it. If you like doing that stuff, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's fire. It's brought attention more to physical culture, physical strength.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for that. But I also realize people's attention spans are not large, okay?
Yeah.
And we live in a very technical world now where if I said to somebody, come on, walk with me 25 feet with 30 pounds of sand, or they offered them an iPhone, I'd be walking alone, okay?
Sure,
So there's a lot of things out there that are distracting.
And that's because people think that things make them happier or give them a better quality of life. People neglect their own bodies. Lifting weights and stuff isn't going to make you live longer. It's only going to make you live better.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? It doesn't, because there are plenty of people that do all the wrong things and live longer than people that lift weights their whole life. There are people that lift weights their whole life and die in their 30s and 40s and whatever, you know? That's not what lifting weights is all about. It's about living a better quality of life. You know, like it's about being happier with yourself versus being dissatisfied and thinking that you need a new phone or you need another pack of cigarettes to make you feel better or you have to go get drunk on the weekend to forget about all how bad the work week it was. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Most people aren't living their life the way they want to. And so they look for these other external things to make them feel better when really they just got to get back to get into the internal and what training does that helps you get more internal because you're focusing on you and nothing else.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's where I want to go with lifting and training is like, it's about making you a better person for you. So that way you're better for the people around you. It's not going to make you live longer or anything like that. It's just going to make you live better and happier. You know,
and you're going to be so much more successful.
Because when you're happy and you're positive, you think better things. So you come up with better solutions to your problems.
Absolutely, and everything in this world is a solution to something. And it's like, look at guys like us, like your buddy Mark, all these people, everybody. Here's the deal: if you're really into this stuff, and I mean you live it and breathe it, and you can do a lot of other things. This isn't the only thing. But when you can get out and figure things out and build things and implement things and try things and fail and stand up again and get smarter, you know something? You can't buy this stuff.
No, that's exactly right. You cannot buy that.
Right. They can't bottle it. They can't use it as a cologne
nope.
or whatever you want to use it for. And it's not something that you can push your thumbs into and magically, okay, I'm
benched.
Exactly. And it's like, I don't know. See, this is what kind of makes me a little nervous about what I see now with everything. Now, I'll just give a quick example. My brother was going down a very busy street here in Albany called New Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw this guy texting, and he knew he was not going to stop.
Yeah.
So he slowed down. Listen to this now. Now, this is a very busy road. This clown was looking down texting. He walked right across the street without even looking, man. He's lucky he didn't get killed. Now, I think when it comes to that point, you got a big problem, man. And this is why I think it's just too much of too much all the time. Look, if we lifted all the time, we know we'd get sick of it or something would happen.
Or you tear yourself up.
You tear up. So you got to have a little balance in your life. And it's like when you're that self-absorbed, and I know that's a generation thing now for sure.
Yeah.
I do a lot of it. It's mainly business. Obviously,
yeah.
Yes, I text friends and stuff. But here's my deal, Will. If you told me I couldn't use a phone again, I really wouldn't give a shit, man. Now, if you told me you were going to take away my Hoosa Steel stone, I'd beat you into the ground.
Yeah, I'd be pissed if you tried to take away. But if you, yeah, if you took away all my technology, I didn't start out with technology, so it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
What matters to me is the ability to better myself through training, and like those things are what's important to me. Like, I, you know, like we talked a little bit about like the sacrifices that we made, like the sacrifices I made to have this gym. I gave up a lot of things, a lot of materialistic things so that I could have this gym and I could make other people happy and I could continue to make myself happy, because I know that in reality what really makes me happy is how I feel about myself, not the things that I have. And what makes me feel better about myself is constant improvement. And so if you're constantly improving, whether you're learning, you know, by reading things or getting promotions in your job or building things or building yourself, you know, that, you know, I feel like that is what is really important is building yourself up. And you can't really build yourself up if you're too busy trying to stay like, well, dude over here got a new Galaxy, so I got to go get a new Galaxy, and then he got a new car, so I got to get a new car, and the keeping up with the Joneses mentality, it's still there. People feel like they have to wear the $200 pair of pants to make themselves feel right or whatever, and I'm just like, that's not what happens when those jeans wear out. You're gonna have you're gonna spend another $200 or $300 on a pair of jeans to make you feel better. Come on.
Well, no, it's BS. And you know what the whole thing is? Like, if you don't develop, look at, I can tell you from experience, especially dating and all this other stuff. There's so many women out there looking for XYZ that's never gonna come, or they've got these expectations which are a joke, and they start getting into their 30s and early 40s, and, you know, then they decide, well, you know, maybe I was wrong, or maybe I was treating these individuals not right, and suddenly I'm alone. A lot of people, I'm a big observer, and one thing I see when I'm out a lot, doesn't matter if it's going to a Whole Foods, a co-op, a regular grocery, I love just watching people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like looking at eyes and mannerisms, how you carry yourself, that. I can tell you this, because we say this at the end of the show. My mom used to always say, no matter who you meet today, give them a smile or say hello. It might be the only person that talks to them. I was like, it never registered until I got a little older. Like, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
But now, as a man, I walk around and I see this stuff. And I got to tell you, Will, there's a lot of lonely people out there.
Yeah.
And you can see it in their face, man. And like, I'll try to always strike up some conversation with somebody in line, or just, you know, if kids are there, they'll say something, you know, or whatever. It's like everybody's afraid to talk now or say hello. I mean, I'll say hello to people, and they'll look at me like, oh, hello. I'm
yeah,
like,
or like, do I know you? Or like, why are you talking to me? Or do I have business with you or something?
What the hell is wrong with you? You know, and so this is where we're going. But I'll tell you what, I'll never go that way. I'll always try to better myself. I'll always try to be the best trainer I could be for anybody, the best individual. Do I have flaws? Do I have bad days? Just like everybody. But you know what? I know enough to not let that take me. And like I said, good things are going to happen to me. Why don't you finish off with anything you got and give out, you know, the web or the gym and all that.
Sure.
And I'll give my stuff, and then just hang on the line if you would, please.
Well, the main point of the story of today's podcast, I feel like, was just talking more about developing yourself mentally, and not just physically, but we use the physical the physical part as like a metaphor for developing yourself mentally. But a lot of you know, what makes you successful is all on the inside your brain, inside your head, and it comes from self-talk, how you talk to yourself, and how you talk to yourself comes from how you feel about yourself. And if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to talk good to yourself. If you feel good about yourself, because you know you're taking care of yourself physically, then you're going to have better conversations with yourself. You're going to come up with better answers to your problems. You're going to be more resilient. You're going to when you get knocked down, you're going to get back up and try again. Because you have you're building your self confidence. You're building your sense of pride about your work ethic and who you are as an individual. And the gym is really one of the best metaphors for how you can do that. You get bigger and stronger in the gym. You're going to get bigger and stronger in your head. Mm-hmm. Which is going to help you to get other things that you want in life.
Big medicine, Will. Big medicine.
Yeah, you know, I don't go to the doctor except for when I need to get surgery to have something fixed or whatever. I don't get sick. You know, I eat good. These are all things that I learned through the gym, through training, and that's made my life better. You know, my gym is Epic Fitness Solutions. You can find it on the website. You just type up Epic Fitness Solutions. You can find me on Facebook, too, Will Dinwiddie or Epic Fitness Solutions. So if anybody that listens to this has any questions or wants to talk to me privately, you can find me there, and you can, you know, message me or friend me there. So as far as today's talk, I feel like it was a really good a motivational talk.
Killer, man.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of good information out there. And it's just another thing, it's just a lot of repetition. You know, like it takes hearing this stuff over and over again in different ways and talking about it over and over again to remind yourself that you are doing the right things when you're doing these, when you're living your life good or when you're training. You mean, and it is normal for everyone to have ups and downs. We all do. Like, everybody has ups and downs. But it's just getting back on the horse and not. You know, like the example for the surgery, you know, like not saying, oh, well, I had surgery, I could take the week off if I wanted, I could take 6 weeks off if I wanted, but there's no way that I could actually do that. I couldn't live myself like that, knowing that I'm like taking it easy. That's not the way you're supposed to live life. You're supposed to live life giving your best on a daily basis. And if you're holding yourself back from that, you're only holding yourself back from your true potential. So you should always give your best no matter what anybody else says or recommends, even if it's a doctor. If you don't agree with it, then you should get a second opinion or go do what you feel is best. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, without a doubt. You got everything, Will?
Yeah, man, that's everything. Okay. Of course, we could always talk more. So.
Yeah, just hold on. I'll be right with you.
Okay.
This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by DocsPrefer.com, that's Dr. Juan's Essentials, Sorenex at Sorenex.com. Also, go out to Fiorello Barbell and download our top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. We got Hearts Collision here for New York folks only. That's HeartsCollision.com, 518-477-7937. Check out the Winner's Circle at FiorelloBarbell.com, Strength Times Power Equals Success. Also, too, go out to monsterdevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. And don't forget, sponsorship, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Click on sponsorship. Come on aboard with us, man. You're going to be on a winning program for a long, long time. Take a chance on us. We're good, and we're going to only get better and better. Few things, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, motivationandmuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We got 5 stars on everything so far. I thank everybody for that. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. If you'd like Will and I to do a show or you just want to blast off, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. That's how you email me. Keep looking for new stuff on the main site, and you will see stuff on Motivation, too. I should be putting up a new podcast this afternoon. I'm not sure what one I'm going to do. We got quite a few to go. And as I always say, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to say hello or just give them a little time. You never know who you're influencing for the good. Don't be afraid to show it. And as I just said, as my mom said when we were kids, Never be afraid to say hello or smile at somebody. You never know if that's the only thing they're even going to deal with today. And that's a sad thing if that's the case. But it doesn't hurt just to be kind to somebody. And last but not least, go out today and lift big chunks of iron or go and lift some stones, right, and turn them into dust. And I'll tell you this before, we are domination. We are going to be a million or more strong. So just hop on board, tell a friend. I've gotten some new things from different people. Jeremy from down in Texas, he was like, I never knew you existed, man. He goes, I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying your shows. I thank him for that. And all the other people that are catching on, let's keep spreading this like a fire. So, Will, thanks for being on the show, sir.
Thank you for inviting me and having me again. I can't wait for the next
one. We're going to have you on. I want to get you on regular. We're gonna try to work that out. So, for Will Dimwitty, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Like I said, I'm busy again right till Friday. We've got 10 minutes now. I got Gareth Denyer coming up from Texas. So I want to thank everybody. Have a great week. And like I said, go out and make a difference.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.